It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And this is the sound of going to a drive-in movie theater back in the day.
Now the time is here. Now's the time for a bite of cheer. A tasty life where the price is right. Well, look at here, you'll dig this sight. The moment's handy for a piece of candy. Just name your brand. They're all so grand. Hey, what do you think of an ice cool drink? Or a big box filled with a popcorn thrill?
Drive-in movie theaters had their heyday in the 1940s and 50s, playing big blockbuster movies of the summer.
Drive up in your car, buy some concessions, and listen to the movie on a standalone speaker or your car radio.
Now, drive-ins feel like a nostalgic remnant of the past, with just a handful of them remaining in each state. Later, we'll talk to a film expert about the rise and fall of drive-ins.
But first, one drive-in theater in Door County has stood the test of time. This year, it's celebrating 75 years in business.
Dale Jacobson is co-owner of the Skyway Drive-In Theater in Fish Creek, the longest continuously running drive-in movie theater in Wisconsin. Dale, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Happy to be here.
What led your family to get into the Skyway Drive-In Theater there?
My dad was just looking to buy a business in general. This is back in 1981. He had really no knowledge of movies or movie theaters or drive-ins at all. And the drive-in just came up for sale, and he just kind of wanted to own his own business. So they decided to buy it.
And did you get to spend a lot of time at, I mean, this would be some kid's dream. I'm not sure how old you were at this point. Did you get to spend a lot of time at the drive-in?
Yeah, I was 8 years old when I bought it. So I kind of, grew up there. I actually remember a few times being there before they bought it as a younger kid or whatever, and always thought it was pretty cool, and it was a fun way to grow up, for sure.
Now, my drive-in movie memory was Smokey and the Bandit. What's the first movie you remember seeing at the drive-in?
Actually, I think it was Lady and the Tramp. I don't know if I was like 5 years old or something like that. I remember being there, kind of parked in the front with my parents.
One thing I hear from fans of Skyway is that you don't just play the movies. You have some of those old vintage advertisements before the movie. Let's have a listen. We've got one, the Pick Mosquito Repellent ad from back in the 1950s. Here's a listen.
Men, there's a drive-in movie full of juicy people. Wow! It's a trap! Help! It's Pick! We've had it, men.
A pleasant aroma for you, but not for mosquitoes. Pick is easy to use. Light it and forget it.
I'm not too sad to see that mosquito go. Dale, tell us about the tradition of running these old vintage cartoons.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I think, as you mentioned, people enjoy that part of it, so we try to keep them going. I think if they came back, the next year, I'd be disappointed if the Pick ahead wasn't still showing there. People, come year after year and get to know it by heart. And it is fun to keep the feel of it going as from the 50s or whatever. I think that's a big part of what people appreciate about it.
And you mentioned that 1950s feel, Dale. Apart from the cartoons, what other things do you do to keep that kind of nostalgic feeling alive?
Well, we still have the traditional speakers on the first front half of the theater. So people like those too, even though you can listen on the radio. Some people just prefer to experience it that way. Old movie posters in the snack bar. The snack bar hasn't changed much, has the same feel as it always did. Old signs and clocks and movie posters from the past. I think people kind of enjoy looking at that kind of thing.
You mentioned, Dale, having to have digital versions of those ads, and I understand this was a big deal. There was a conversion that the movie studios kind of demanded were how you project these movies, going from a film to digital back, I think, in 2013. Can you tell us about that and why it was a challenge?
Drive-in theaters, probably a lot of them at that time kind of wrestled with whether to do it or not, whether it's fairly expensive to do. We had to climate control the booth, the projection booth, and the equipment's not cheap, of course. And so it was a decision we felt was worth it, though, to go forward. I mean, really had no choice because they're just, movie companies stopped making them on film. So just kind of a decision where, if you want to keep it going, this is something you have to do. So, I think, I don't know how many drive-ins did go out of business at that time, but probably a fair number decided, it just wasn't worth it to do it. But, we decided to go forward with it.
There are a lot of ways we can watch a movie these days, Dale, in an indoor theater, in our home entertainment systems. What it to you is special about seeing a movie at the drive-in?
Well, I mean, especially on a nice night when the stars are out and people's kind of just sitting outside there. It's probably when people enjoy it the most, of course, and just that experience and the fact that there aren't a lot of drive-ins, I guess. People remember when they're kids and their kids have never seen one. They talk about how they've from an area that there are no more drive-ins anymore, even in the whole state hardly. And so they drove by and saw this and they felt like they had to come, So I think just the nostalgic part of it and just the fact of being outside on a nice night, probably the two biggest draws of it.
Dale, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We promise to satisfy your hunger, your thirst, your sweet tooth. So visit our refreshment center now. Let's go.
We're talking about an old school summer tradition, going to the drive-in movie theaters. That was Dale Jacobson, co-owner of the Skyway Drive-In Theater in Fish Creek. It's celebrating 75 years in business. Skyway is one of a handful of drive-in theaters left in Wisconsin. They may be a rare breed now, but at one time, drive-in movie theaters were a big part of American culture. So what happened? And could drive-ins see a comeback? Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillies is associate professor and director of film studies at UW-Milwaukee. Jocelyn, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Oh, it's so good to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
Oh, we just heard about the unique experience of the drive-in. Give us the early history, the rise of drive-in theaters.
Yeah, absolutely. We usually look to the very early 1930s as the emergence of the drive-in, and that's accurate to a certain extent because that's when Richard Hollingshead in New Jersey patents the drive-in. But they actually have a longer history. There's a lot of experimentation with drive-ins well before that, reaching all the way back even to around 1915. So I think what's really interesting about this history of the drive-in is that it extends through almost the entire history of the feature-length film in the United States. What we think of as this kind of extraneous element of film going, the drive-in, actually has like these really, really deep connections with American film history. So in the 30s, it's patented and then begins expanding throughout the country really after World War II. That's the moment that we see the real blossoming of drive-in culture in the United States. So from around 1945, 47-ish through the 1950s, that's really the moment of massive drive-in culture. It's no accident that it happens at that moment in time because that's also when Americans start buying more cars. So the drive-in really is as much a part of American film history as it is a part of the American automobile industry.
And when I think of drive-in theaters, I remember a little bit going to watch movies there myself. I guess what I really think about is the movie Grease, where this, nostalgic vision of America, and there are all these teens, played by people who are like 20 to 40 years old, all these teens have this big, long scene at a drive-in movie theater. Why have drive-ins been such a part of our nostalgia in that era you were talking about, the 50s into the early 60s in particular, I think?
Yeah, that's such a great scene for thinking about how we understand the drive-in as a part of American culture, for better or for worse, for accuracy or some element of rosy-tinted nostalgia, right? But, they occupied such an interesting place because they're a place where teenagers could go experience being together outside of the household and beyond the watchful eyes of their own parents, right? And I think that's part of the dream that we still have about the drive-in. Like, it's a place where you could be a little bit wild, a little bit free. You don't have to adhere not only to the rules of your parents, but maybe what the normal rules of the movie theater itself would be. You go to the movie theater, you sit still, you're quiet, you behave yourself. That never happens with the audiences around me when I go to the movie theaters, but that's the ideal, right? That's the ideal. The drive-in, however, that's a place where anything can happen. You're sequestered from other audience members in your car. So you could be a teenager making out with another teenager. You could be smoking in your car. In fact, a lot of drive-in owners in the 1950s recommended advertising that you could smoke there, whereas you couldn't in a normal movie theater, right? So it's this place where like all of these things can kind of happen. and you have that element of freedom. And that also is, I think, so tied into nostalgia. Our models of nostalgia are about that idea of some moment in the past that never really existed, but that promises some element of liberation and freedom compared to the requirements that we all have as adults.
All right, Jocelyn, cars didn't go away, movies didn't go away, teenagers didn't go away. Why did drive-in movie theaters seem to disappear so relatively quickly?
Yeah, drive-ins, they occupy such a strange place in so many ways. So not only are they this liminal space for teenagers to go to, I also want to note that so many drive-ins were integrated spaces in a moment when Jim Crow was active in the South in particular. So many Southern drive-ins were the only places where Black and white audiences would be able to attend together. All of these things point to the drive-in as this moment of transition in American culture. And one of the important elements of that transition is the transition to television, right? So the drive-ins, they're so popular at the end of the 1940s, into the 1950s, and the beginning of the 1960s. This is also the same moment that TV becomes such a juggernaut in American culture. So American cinema at this moment in time is trying to figure out what it is and what it's going to be. So it's really this moment of a tension between public and private entertainment. And the drive-in walks this funny tightrope between being in public and being in private. So once home viewing really becomes much more popular, not just in terms of television, but also in terms of VHS, Beta, right? All of those kinds of possibilities where you can watch movies at home, we no longer need to have that liminal space between the public and the private to watch movies, right? It really becomes this kind of dinosaur because the bifurcation of public and private viewing is completely delineated once people are able to watch movies at home.
So many of those drive-ins have gone away, but not all, as we just heard from Skyway in Fish Creek. What is it that you think, what niche are these remaining drive-ins filling that allows them to stay in business?
Yeah, I mean, it is so much about nostalgia. It is so much about nostalgia. And although often when I think about nostalgia, I'm very suspicious, as I think we all should be, right? Nostalgia is usually about a desire for a time that never really even existed. But there's something about the nostalgia for the drive-in that I find kind of appealing because it's not just about like, oh, remember this more innocent time when, you know, everybody had 2.5 children and a white picket fence, right? It's also nostalgia for a way of being that's not so dictated by all the rules and regulations. And that way of being could seem a little bit dangerous, right? It could be like teenagers making out in cars, like, oh no, you're not under anybody's eye. Like maybe that's dangerous. Maybe that's a problem. Maybe they're experimenting with smoking. But other things that are happening are that different kinds of audiences are coming together. Families, integrated audiences, drive-ins often even appealed to audience members with disabilities, which I think is really fascinating, especially at a time when there's not the same ADA requirements that we have now. That was really meaningful to those audiences in the late 1940s and early 1950s. So when I think about this nostalgia for the drive-in, I think it's also a nostalgia for a time when we weren't so atomized, right? The drive-in is the promise of being young, being wild, being out at night, being out in the open, and not really knowing who you're going to interact with and the sorts of thrills that might result from that.
All right, Jocelyn, I kind of aged myself earlier. Smokey and the Bandit is the one I remember. I think it was a double feature. I think the second was The Sting. Don't quote me on that. I slept through it. Do you have a drive-in movie memory?
I have a ridiculous drive-in movie memory. So it must have been like 1982-ish. I was probably around 4. And I remember my parents loaded up what was then my 2 siblings and myself. There were more to come. And of course, the drive-in is always very cheap to take your family to see the movie. So they load us up to take us to the drive-in for what they think is going to be Bambi. And as you well know, Rob, drive-ins often show double features. So we get to the drive-in, and I will never forget this for my entire life. It is seared into my brain. The movie starts, and it's a live-action movie that's in a courtroom, and that scene ends pretty quickly. And the next scene, one of the lawyers is in the women's room and somebody bursts out of a stall and like brutally axe murders her. And my parents were like, well, that's it. We're out of here. And we left. So clearly it was not Bambi.
I mean, Bambi could be traumatic too, I guess.
Bambi might have been more traumatic. Maybe this is where my love of horror movies comes from. I don't know.
Jocelyn, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's always so much fun.
That's Jocelyn Sapeniak-Gillies, Associate Professor and Director of Film Studies at UW-Milwaukee, talking about the history of drive-in movie theaters. Earlier, we heard from Dale Jacobson, who co-owns the Skyway Drive-In Theater in Fish Creek with his brother. This summer, Skyway is celebrating 75 years of showing movies under the stars.